And good morning and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ. It is February 22nd, 2026. Hard to believe that another week's went by, but here we are, and glad you could join us today. We're thankful for those that join us here in person and those that join us through the internet. Before we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we thank you for this opportunity to be here. And Lord, we're grateful for all your many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. We do ask that you continue to protect us and give us that discernment that we need. Give us an extra dose of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray, Father, for the children, the young people of this land, as there are so many things that are coming against them in so many ways, shapes, and forms. And we know that our enemies hate our children. And Lord, we just ask, Father, for that extra protection for them as they're living in difficult times. There are so many things that are pulling them away from you and your ways. We just pray, Father, an extra special protection upon them. We pray that you protect them, that you keep them safe, and that you raise them up to be good, godly men and women of God. That's what we desire, Lord, and we just ask, Father, for it to happen. And we pray, Father, that you give the parents out there, that you give them discernment and wisdom and knowledge and just assist them in raising good, godly Christian children. We ask for your help in these matters, and we thank you for being able to see your hands at work. Lord, I'm thankful for the Wednesday night prayer meeting, and I'm so thankful that you're answering the prayers of your people. And Lord, I'm thankful for the direction that that prayer meeting is going, and I just pray, Father, for your hands to be upon it. I pray, Father, for you to continue to lead, guide, and direct, and let that thing flourish, Lord. Let it be a blessing to you and your kingdom, all to your glory. Let it be a blessing to the saints across this land that participate in it. Lord, we're grateful for it, and we thank you for that. We thank you for this church and this ministry, and ask for your blessing to be upon it. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, amen. Well, there's been a lot of stuff going on, and a lot of people contacted me. They did receive their Dragon Slayer newsletter, and I don't know what's going on, but we have had a lot of problems with the post office lately. It seems like it's been an epidemic, and I've been talking to our postmaster and several other people across the country that ain't getting their mail, and I know we've got it addressed right, and I've had a couple phone calls this week, and people were really upset, and you know, it's nothing really changed on our end at all. We got it sent out, and you know, if you did place an order with us and didn't receive it, just contact me. You can contact me at preacher@sfaw.org, or you can call the office at 307-742-7582. You give us a call, let us know, shoot me an email. You can contact us through the contact form on the website as well, but yeah, we resent out several orders for people that just hadn't received them, and not sure what that is about. But you know, don't get upset with us. Just let me know, and I'll make sure that it gets resent out. Had a couple people that wrote in, said that they sent in orders, and you know, we simply didn't get them either. So keep that in your prayers. But do reach out to us if you ordered something and have not received it, and let me know too. On the DVD Church, did have one person that called me and said that she was having problems with the DVD not playing, and I don't know. Hey, sometimes that happens. DVDs are cheap nowadays, and made in China. So sometimes it's what do you expect? But if you do have a problem with one, just let me know, and I'll make sure and get it sent back out to you. That's not a problem, and you know, we're here. And try to be as accommodating as possible. there's a lot of stuff to do right now, and time is short, and a little short-staffed. But Lord has been good to us, and I'm thankful for the prayers of the saints out there that are praying for us in this ministry, because I know that we couldn't be doing what we're doing here without you praying for us out there. So I really do appreciate that, and ask that you keep up the good work. We're going to start off with a song, and this song is This Land Is His Land. I think it's appropriate for what we're seeing going on in the world today.
This land is his land. He made it our land. From California to the New York Islands. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. His land he made for liberty. This land of Christianity. This land was made for you and me. This land of Christianity. This land is his land. He made it our land. From California to the New York Islands. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. His land he made for liberty. This land. This land is his land. He made it our land. From California to the New York Islands. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. His land he made for liberty. This land of Christianity.
I like that song. Pastor Peter's liked that song an awful lot, too. I think we've got time looking at the clock for one more song. This one, let's do There's a Great Day Coming. Coming up right about now. Okay, apparently we got a CD that ain't working, so we're going to have to burn a new one. So, anyways, we've got variety around here. You guys all know that. And, you know, we try to break things up and do things a little bit different from now and then. Did have a scriptural insight and study that I wanted to preach. And this one was entitled, this was an old one. This is one of the very first, was in the first three or four scriptural insight and studies that me and Pastor Peters put together. And its title was What They Didn't Teach Me in Bible College. And I've had several people that have ordered this one. And it's definitely a good one. And wanted to play that this morning. The message that we had in the hour before was discrimination, godly or ungodly. And it was a good message. I just really felt like it was something that there's things in there. I think it answers a lot of the questions for some of the questions that people are asking today. And I think it's pertinent to the times that we're living in. So if you didn't join us the hour before, we're going to be playing that in the next coming hour. But we'll have that scriptural insight and study, what they didn't teach me in Bible college.
That was a whole lot more than what the law would allow. Yeah. He's still the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings.
And greetings in the blessed holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ to you saints of the lost and found sheep of the house of Israel. I hope you're finding these Bible insights and study as enjoyable as I do. I enjoy just sitting down here and talking with you. And I like to tell stories. And I find that our people like to tell stories. And, of course, the title of this one is What They Didn't Tell Me in Bible College and Why. I might have a Bible college story or two to tell you, but let's pray. Our Father in Heaven, I ask now for the moving of your Holy Spirit, for your blessings on this Bible insight and study, that it might truly be a blessing to the saints, that they might come away the wiser, more discerning, and suspicious, and better able to stomp Satan and his serpentine snakes that have slithered into our country and into the pulpits of our land. O Heavenly Father, I pray for myself and for them that you'd grant us more of that gift of discernment that comes from the Holy Spirit. Lord, you said that if we prayed for the Holy Spirit, knocked at the door, it would be open, asked, and we'd receive. And so we do all that, and specifically for that special gift of discernment that we as sheep, dumb sheep, and that's just the nature, as you know, of the critter. We have failed in this area so very often. So make us, as we request, to do what your will indicates in your word, make us as wise as serpents and harmless as doves, and let this study work to that end. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What I learned in Bible college, and they didn't tell me, and why? Or let me put this way, what I didn't learn in Bible college and why? I went to a Bible college. First of all, I want to say something about this. You know, I've seen over the years, and I've been in the ministry now 30-plus years, so many of them, Paul said, there are those that recognize that godliness is a way of gain. And boy, the sheep are such suckers for some of these guys. All of a sudden, they decide that they're going to be a leader of the flock. And suddenly they're leading away, and they have had no training, no experience, no apprenticeship, none of that. No sacrificial work. Just one day they set up a sign. It's reverend, pastor, evangelist, whatever. And no education. I want you to know this man that's speaking to you, he's got a fair number of years of education, both in the school of hard knocks and in regular university training, and my most valuable was Bible college. I'd already had a bachelor of science degree when I went off to Bible college, and I had a family, and it was a sacrifice, and I spent 3 years in that Bible college, and it was not what they call an accredited Bible college, but it was a good one. And let me tell you that one of the things that I've tried to tell as I brought this series on deception, is that the Edomite can teach you a lot of good things. You need to remember that. And I know that I was taught a lot of good things. I know that I wouldn't be preaching today, 30-some years later, if I hadn't have gone off that day to Bible college and got the training that I got in the and the preaching that I got in Bible chapel at 7 o'clock in the morning, they taught us, you do the work of an evangelist, you sacrifice, you labor for the Lord. And I remember the one man teaching this, and I've always found it to be true. He said, you keep your heart right, and no man can destroy you. Well, it was one of those Bible colleges that was run by a church. It's a fairly sizable church, and the church ran it. The students were expected to tie it to the church, and the church gave them the education. And of course, we had to work to make our living. And it was trying those 3 years, but the last year was a very blessed year for this preacher, because the head man, the man that ran that Bible college, saw potential in this young man, that was going there, and made him his assistant. And had planned on him actually teaching in that Bible college the next year once I graduated there. Anyway, I'm getting the cart before the horse in the story, but it was one of those schools that they taught well Scripture, particularly in the area of the New Testament Scriptures, but they called themselves New Testament Christians. Bad mistake. Don't ever fall for that trap, because when I got out of Bible college, I knew the Old Testament. I'd read it. I knew about some of the stories in it, Abraham offering his son, David and Goliath, Daniel in the lion's den. But there was no coherency. You don't be a New Testament Christian. You be a whole Testament Christian. But there was a New Testament scripture, And this church taught accurately, and so did this Bible college, the plan of salvation, which includes, as you know, and I preach it much, because that was the key to the kingdom that Peter taught, baptism for the remission of sins. So the Great Commission, as it's given in Mark chapter 16, was certainly hit upon. They knew Mark 16, 16. We're going to read, starting with Mark 16, verse 14, I believe it is. Mark 16, 14. And afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table. And he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. There's the Great Commission. Verse 16, Mark 16, 16. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Now, I want to tell you, that part was taught to us real well, because it ties in with all the other scriptures on baptism. 1 Peter 3:21, in like manner, baptism doth now save us. Acts, there's a whole host of them. Galatians 3:27, all ye that were baptized into Christ have clothed you with Christ. Now arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. So Mark 16:16 was taught. It's part of the Great Commission, and it's there. But then there's a few verses after that, such as verse 17. And 17, 18 was not taught. Let's look at those. And these signs will accompany those who have believed in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and they will drink. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, there's a whole lot we could talk about there, but I just want to talk about, for right now, that part about they will pick up serpents. And by the way, a lot of this tongue speaking that's going on out there is as phony as the phony costals that are speaking it. But the Bible does say that we'll talk in new tongues. That's a whole nother study. But I want to center in on what they never taught me. It says, and they will pick up serpents. They never taught me what, as I look back on it, we just kind of skimmed over it. I didn't know what serpents were. And up until of late, I didn't know why they never did teach on that passage. I wrote in my Bible, pick up serpents. That word up means take up or away, the way anchor to remove. I've learned how to start removing these serpents from the congregation. But the word serpent is 3709. I wrote this down in my Bible, meaning sly, cunning person. A sly, cunning person. Now, I was not taught in Bible college that there were, in Scripture, these serpents that were sly, cunning persons. Why? Well, for one thing, I've reasoned about it. You cannot teach what you do not know. And so it is. It's very possible they did not know what serpents were. I know for a long time, I kind of thought, what is going on here? These churches that actually pick up rattlesnakes out of a box and that type of things. So it could be that could be one of the reasons they did not know. Another reason could be because of the spell. Now, I went to Bible college in the 70s, and the spell was heavy in the 70s. And when I talk about the spell, if you want to know about the spell and the spell-casting ability of these serpents, go to our website, dcstreetsorcery.com. No other ministry, and is that a brag? No, it's a fact. No other ministry has revealed and made known the magic sorcery, the enemy, the serpentine enemies are using on the whole country. So you can check that out, dcstreetsorcery.com. These serpents have been spell casting, and the spell was heavy as I look back. One of the spells, the charm, you know, Jason was telling me the other day of a book that he's been reading. This was off the subject, but some people like me just get off track sometimes. But he was telling about a book that he's been reading, and I want to get my hands on it sometime and perhaps read it as well, about a man back in the 30s and the 40s that discovered there were men that were sly, cunning people that were just con men, going around bilking people out of their money. And one day, he was a farmer. Is that the way the story was, Jason? He was in the barn, and he saw a snake. Guess a rattlesnake, as I recall the story. And there was a mouse or a rat. Was it a mouse or a rat, Jason? Rat. Dirty rat, too. But this dirty rat was mesmerized because the snake started moving back and forth and back and forth. And pretty soon, that old rat was just mesmerized there and just kind of still there until the time for the snake to snap. And snap he did. And this guy, he went on a crusade of his own to try to run down these con men. The interesting thing about the book, and this is a side point too, is that when he would find out the next con they were doing and get it lined up and figure it out what they were doing, he'd come into a town. And when the sheriff was supposed to show up, suddenly he had an appointment on the other side of town. And this happened time after time. And I think that the Masonic connection in our law enforcement was pretty strong in those days, as it is today, and probably had a factor in that. These serpents have slithered in so many ways into our society. But anyway, back in those days, we were mesmerized with this lie that we're all God's children. You know, black and white, yellow and brown. We're all God's children and all of that. And so I suppose that no one wanted to say, maybe that was one of the reasons I wasn't taught in Bible college about the serpents. That's one of the possibilities. I had some notes here I wrote down as another possibility. We were mesmerized in a lot of ways in this country that we don't recognize. Music was one of them. Everything is beautiful in its own way. It doesn't seem Christian to call somebody a snake, does it? Even though our Lord said, "You brood of vipers." So anyway, I wasn't taught that. And I cannot teach you something I don't know. Maybe they didn't know at the time. But I learned through the school of hard knocks that there is such a thing as snakes. And I hope that by now, some of you have learned to use the deception detection prayer. And we've done a series on deception. And in that series, I've taught you to pray for God to forgive you of being deceived. Because being deceived is a sin. The Lord says, "Be not deceived." And when you start praying that, you'll be surprised. And I know some of you haven't yet because, well, you know, it's a kind of a pride factor. You'd have to admit you're wrong, wouldn't you? The other thing I found in this teaching profession and preaching and evangelizing is that when you are wrong, I'm going to give you a hint here. I wasn't taught this in Bible college, but I'm going to teach you this. When you're wrong, when you find you're wrong, say you're wrong before God, you say, "God, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me?" And guess what? He will. And if you've wronged somebody else, or if somebody else has wronged you, you come to him and say, "I'm sorry, I was wrong, you were right. Would you forgive me?" And if they're Christian, they will. And if you are Christian, you better. Because the Lord said, "If you will not, you are a wicked servant." But I found that the Edomite, now that's one of the major discoveries I've made in the last couple of years, that man, the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that sits in the temple, his name is Esau, and more specifically, even Amalek, who was the grandson of Esau. But these Edomites, they do not have the ability to, as I've said in the series, receive a blessing, nor do they have the ability to repent, to admit that they are wrong. And that's one of the requirements that our Lord has for us to become clean. And I have found that when I have been wrong in my teaching, I just have to admit it and correct it. And he'll forgive me. And when you do, you'll learn more in the way of truth. Learn to pray, "God, forgive me for being deceived, and reveal through your loving kindness and mercy my deception." Learn to pray, "God, deliver me from the dogs." I always like to throw in the adjective, these dirty dogs. And he will. If Jesus, as I pointed out in that series on deception, had to pray, deliver me from the dogs, shouldn't we? And pray daily, deliver us from evil. And I do believe I wouldn't have had to go through so much schooling of hard knocks and learning what they didn't teach me in Bible college, that serpents are two-legged creatures, sly, cunning people. Use the deception detection prayer and ask for more of the gift of the Holy Spirit when it comes to discernment. And pray to be delivered from the dirty dogs. And I think I'm going to tell you the sort of rest of the story. I got a lot of stories I could tell you, but I want to tell you that I was taught, and I learned this, they will teach you a lot of good things. Now, you've heard me talk about a man, I've used his name, Brother Word. He was an older man at the time, had already kind of retired from his church and evangelism, and he fit into the Bible college quite well because in the summertime he would still go out and hold evangelistic meetings, and he was quite an evangelist, quite a preacher. And the man that run the Bible college had hired him to be one of the teachers. Now, you never hear me use the name of the man that run the Bible college, but I want to tell you that I learned a lot from that man, and in many ways he was a blessing to this man. And I guess one of the great blessings was this. When I was in my third year of Bible college, I was thinking I had attained. I had found the Lord's church, and they did teach accurately concerning the church and the scriptures, the church that Jesus said, upon this rock I will build. And I learned a lot from him, but looking at the clock, I guess I better cut this thing short. I also learned, here I was, and I thought I had attained, actually, by the grace of God, was able to buy a house for nothing down, just across the street, up about a half a block from the church. A little white house with a white picket fence, two-story house, looked like something out of Ozzie and Harriet. And we were so happy, my wife and I, and next year I'm going to be teaching in Bible college, and I just love the idea of being a teacher. But then the Lord said, you think you're graduating, don't you? And I did think I was graduating. Just about graduation time, the Lord revealed to me something I had been suspecting for quite some time. People had come to me, and I had put it off and hadn't received it, that man that was running that Bible college was, they, according to their terms, a liar. And, he was accused of being a liar, a deceiver, a manipulator of people, and a ruthless individual if you ever crossed him. Well, one day I had to cross him, and it was dealing with an issue that was an issue of sin, not a major sin, but it had to do with the way he dealt with his family, dealing with versus the families in the church at the time. And this man let his facade down, and I saw what he was. And to make a long story short, I did not want to cause problems in that church. Now, the church people were quite happy with me. I was teaching Sunday school and doing evangelistic work, bringing people to Christ. Church was growing. I called a men's meeting, unbeknownst to him knowing ahead of time, and I resigned, just resigned. Said, I'm leaving, don't ask me why. And I'm taking off, and I put a for sale sign on that little house we were so happy with, and I didn't know where I was going, but I knew I had to get out of there, that the Spirit was leading me, and I could see the writing on the wall, so to speak. Well, when I did leave, I went a few hundred miles away and started a church. But all our friends and everything that were in that fellowship and everything, pretty soon they were turning on us. And I found out I was getting disfellowship, so to speak, on the installment plan. Well, I got a couple of tapes back there I did nearly 25 years ago called Caution, Religion Can Be Dangerous to Your Health and Happiness. And in that story, we ended up praying to be delivered from this man because he was disfellowshipping us on the installment plan, vilifying us. Slander is one of their weapons. And I ended up going back there, and make a long story short, that church ended up disfellowshipping him. First of all, he put me through a meeting. I think it was 18 hours that meeting was. It might have been 14. I can't even remember now. I got to go back and look at my notes. And I remember going into that meeting, a man contacted me who had graduated from that Bible college. He said, "Pete, I want to tell you something. You're stronger than he is, and you can outlast him, and he's going to try to break you down." And I went into that meeting with a plan to last 24 hours. And it was a long meeting. I was sitting before the Sanhedrin. The deck was stacked against me. But before the meeting was over, I was delivered. And that man broke, and the rest of the men in the room began to see his lies. And he repented, or admitted, let's put it that way. But then, and everybody was willing to forgive him, because he got caught in that meeting. Some people came in, and it's a long story. But anyway, he took back his repentance. And that's one thing I learned about them. If you might wonder if you have Amalekite blood in you, if you're unable to say, "I'm sorry, I was wrong, forgive me," if you can't repent and you're held by that pride, chances are you are of that line. That's all I can say to you on that. But that man got disfellowshipped. And so what does that have to do with anything, Pastor Peters? It has to do with this. Why wasn't I taught that we could pick up serpents? And that serpents were the two-legged creatures, the sly, cunning, crafty men. And then it occurred to me, because the man that run the outfit was a serpent himself, and he wasn't about to teach it. Does that ring true to your mind, Jason? It does fit, doesn't it? That's why I wasn't taught that in Bible college, and I think that's the reason why. And one of the things that I've taught you is that Esau Edom did get into the pulpits in this last century, and he has done a work. Now, I'm going to be bringing a sermon, I think, in the very near future, maybe in the next hour, called the Plague Prayer. And one of my Acres of Diamond men did a research on this H1N1 flu. You ever stop and think why they come up with these numbers? Remember when they came out with this morning after pill that gives an easy abortion, and they called it RU-468? Did they just come up with it at around the water cooler having coffee? What do we call it? Well, let's just call it RU-468. No. Esau Edom is out to destroy our race, the Jacob Israel people. RU-4. You know what that means, RU-4? 68. You look up that Greek word in Strong, 68, and it means death, Hades, the abode of the dead. And that's what they were saying, RU-4, 68. The mob used to have a phrase, "Do you want us to 68 him?" Well, how about H1N1? H1N1, and I'll probably bring it in the sermon. I think right now it'll be a plague prayer. H1N1 means Edomite with power and riches. And it connects to a word, and I looked up this word, and this word means Edomite. And this word in the Hebrew, as it's translated into English, was the name of this man who ran the Bible college. And so then I happened to look up the word in the Bible. If you go to Genesis 38:41, well, let's go to 1 Chronicles 1:52. One of the chiefs of Edom was the name of this man. I'm not going to use his name because I don't want to give him any power. And he's still alive and well, but hopefully he's not being able to be as ruthless and successful in his ruthlessness as all these Amalekites, though. I tell you, in their ministry, they got a wake of wounded people in their wake, these dirty Amalekites. But anyway, this man's name was tied in with this H1N1. H1N1 means, as I'll bring out in that sermon to come, an Edomite with wealth and power, and it goes back to a word. And that word is a word which was the name of that man, and that word means Edomite. This is what it says in the Word of God in 1 Chronicles 1:52. Then Hadad died. Now the chiefs of Edom were Chief Timnah, Chief Ilah, Chief Jetheth, chief Aholabimah, chief Elah, chief Pinon, chief Kenaz, chief Tima, and chief Mizah, chief Migdal, chief Iram. These were the chiefs of Edom. Well, that man that ran that Bible college, he had a name that was one of those chiefs. I know why I wasn't taught in Bible college that there are serpents that slither and slide and come into the pulpits. It wasn't that he didn't know. It wasn't that he was in the spell. It was that he was one of them. And the Lord put me on this track a long time ago. Haven't been a fast learner, but when I get it, I got it. And I hope you get it, that there are those. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And we will pick up serpents. Pick up on them. Ask for discernment to see them ahead of time before they mesmerize you and strike you. Oh, how they love to talk about sanctification and holiness. Oh, this guy was good on it, just like the guy I had here. But I tell you what, when you remove that veneer, they don't tell you about the serpents, because they're one of them. You can take it or leave it. But that's the scriptural insight and study I had for you. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you come to that sermon too. Plague prayer. See you later.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. What they didn't teach me in Bible college. I thought that was pretty good. And I guess I'm not the only one with dyslexia around here. Pastor Peter's had it. And he didn't mean to say, are you 468? He meant to say, are you 486? But that's a side note. Before we go to communion, we're going to have a song, and this one is Stand By Me.
Just as long as you stand.
up. The fight has come. And the land is dark. And the truth is the only light I see. No, I won't be afraid.
And as we prepare our hearts and our minds to partake of communion today, I want to start off by reading Psalms, starting in verse 1 of Psalms 112. Praise the Lord! How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, how greatly delights in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and the righteousness endures forever. Rises in the darkness. For the upright, he is gracious and compassionate and righteous. It is well with the man who is gracious and leads. He will maintain his cause and judgment, for he will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is upheld. He will not fear until he looks with satisfaction on the adversaries. He has given freely to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. The wicked will see it and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish. I don't know. I've been spending a lot of time in Psalms lately, and just it seems like every time that I do, I get something out of it. And, you know, I see that the, you know, just what King David, what he went through, He was a man's man, but he had the ups and he had the downs just like each and every one of us do. He would get on a spiritual high. He was praising the Lord and singing to him and worshiping his God. And next thing you know, he was down in the pit, crying out to God, asking God to save him from death. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are going through an awful lot of stuff right now. And one of the things that has been a blessing into my life and to the men that have been helping me out is the Wednesday night prayer meeting. And it's a blessing for us to be able to pray for the needs of saints and encourage people to take time. Join us on Wednesday night by going to scriptures4america.org. And you can listen live on the computer, live on your phone. And, you know, we take prayer requests and pray for the needs of the saints. And it's been a kind of a reoccurring thing is after we get off the radio, the phone generally rings for about another hour after that. And people just calling in that didn't want to be on the radio, or they wanted to be prayed for privately or something like that. But the point I'm trying to make is there's people out there that are hurting, and there's people out there that are suffering. You know, not to go into details, I don't want to share people what people are going through in any specifics, but there's a lot of people that are struggling in with health problems and marriage problems, problems with their children, problems with a spouse, you name it. And yeah, you know, encouraged. You know, we get a lot of people that have been calling back and saying, praise the Lord, thank you for the prayers, they worked. And I'm not trying to build us up by any means, saying that you need to call in so we can pray for you. It's God answering the cries of his people. And he constantly is doing that. And I thank you for, I know that there are several people that I've talked to a couple of people out there that said that they've just been joining us and just praying for the needs of the saints and talked about what a blessing it was to them. And I thank you for that. That's encouraging. I like to hear it. You know, it's sometimes we talk to people and it's you know, I wanted to wait until the last 5 minutes because, you know, this, it doesn't seem significant. I wanted somebody else to call in and that needed the prayers more than I did. And you know, constantly reading people. There's nothing too great nor too small. If it's something that you're going through, by all means, you know, pray for it. And I really think that, you know, a lot of people out there are suffering because they want to hold on to it because you have not because you ask not. They don't want to bring it before the throne of God because it seems too simple or it seems something might be minute or they're just trying to deal with it. And, you know, the other day I was trying to find a set of car keys and I was looking all over the place for them. I looked every place. I traced my steps. I went to my desk. I went to my dresser and I knew that they were, you know, they were somewhere close. And I had that voice in the back of my head that just kept telling me, oh, you should just stop and pray about it. You should stop and pray about it. And, I was stubborn. Didn't want to do it. I just kept looking and kept looking and I kept telling myself, I'm going to find him. I'll find him here in a minute. I'll find him. I got one more place to check. And, I stopped and finally, after wasting a lot of time, being stubborn, stiff-necked Israelite that I am, I stopped and just asked the Lord, you know, said, Lord, I need some help here. Would really appreciate you helping me find these keys. And, it wasn't 30 seconds later, I found the keys and, Lord showed me where they were. It was just, it was that simple. And it was, one of those things. It's like, I knew all I needed to do was pray about it, but I didn't want to. And I think that there's a lot of people out there that, are hurting and suffering just because of that same thing, so to speak. And, just want to encourage you that, there is nothing too great nor too small. And, you know, when we think what Christ has given us through this covenant of, you know, of going to the cross for our sins, he died for us. He gave us everything. And when we call upon the name of the Lord, we have great power. And, I don't know. That's what I felt like I was supposed to share with you for communion today. We're going to partake and then we'll have a message on discrimination, godly or ungodly, by Pastor Peters. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you, Father, for giving us access to your throne. And we thank you for the covenant that we can continually stay in contact with blood through communion. Lord, we ask that as we partake of communion today, we pray that whatever needs to be corrected in our lives, we pray and we just turn it over to you and we ask that you assist us, guide us, direct us, Lord. We know that when we stand before that throne of God, that we are guilty as charged. And the only thing that makes us righteous is the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, right now we apply that blood to our lives and we eat of your body and drink of your blood, asking for that covenant to be renewed, asking for us to be cleansed, purified, that we can be white as snow as we come before your throne. Lord, we're grateful for this, and we remember the awesome price that was paid to give us freedom of our sins. Oh, Lord, we just humbly thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. We're going to have a song, and we'll be right back with another message.
Fresh on me. Spirit.